What's up, my dorks? Wolfman here. It is Riding with the Wolf. We are going to go thrift shopping. Cue that terrible song that everybody couldn't get out of their head there about 10 years ago. July. As jets are flying over my head, I'm wearing a surfing shark t-shirt. 4th of July just passed. Stranger Things is done. Yeah, I'm digging this month. But, man, now I can't get that song stuck out of my head. You remember Thrift Shop? Walking to the club like I would up, I got a thick cock, blah, blah, blah. You know how it's stupid. Funny story about that song. That was during my Brew Brothers era. And I was there one night, on an off night. I think I was trying to go meet different people than my usual clique. And I think I went on like a Wednesday or a Thursday, where none of the bands were playing. And this curvy, absolutely gorgeous blonde kept staring at me from across the bar. And I usually don't like blondes, but I could tell it was fake. And she was smoking, but I'm like, well, cool. She likes small, skinny white things. So I got something for her to suck on. And walk over, say hey, kind of just left it at that, and then walked away like she expected me to buy a drink or something like that. And it, I just kind of, you know, did the guy thing. Like, if you blow them off, it gives them more intrigue to where they make the advances. It's a little trick if you haven't tried that. And her friend came over and bought me a drink and passed me a note and said, my friend really wants to meet you. Give her a call sometime. So I waited, I think, a day or two until Friday and texted her. And I was like, hey, what's up? I met you the other night at Brews. I'm going to go there tonight if you want to hang out. And we did. Hung out for like an hour or so. And she's like, why don't we get out of here? Went back to her place. And turns out she lived a little south of Reno, in between Reno and Carson, which I lived in Carson, so she was actually closer to me. But that area is a ritzy community. Very large, upscale houses. And we started driving towards Manson, and I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Who is this chick? And she pulled off to the left, and there was a side house on the property. So there was like a normal-sized house on the property of this huge-ass mansion, and it was connected to a basketball court-size garage. Not even like a what do you call it, like a trailer storage or something like that. And she puts that song on, and she's got like a sound system that goes through the entire house, and a room with just a pool table in it, a little bar area, tiny kitchen. I mean, you know, back in the 50s, I guess we would have called this servants' quarters, but it was like a big ass nice house that like 12 people could live in. But man, like, she was kind of a tease. She's like, do you want to go back to Brew Brothers or another place? And she's changing right in front of me, like full on nude. And I would try and like go up and touch her and take an advance on her or something, and she just wasn't having it. And then there was like something else where she's like, hey, I gotta take a shower, I forgot. And then finally she invited me in the shower, but it was still kind of a tease. But then as soon as we both got out of the shower, like, it was just full on fuck fest. She did the froggy style, which I'd never seen before, but apparently that's a big porno thing. They ride you, but like they bounce like they're in a frog race or something. I'd never seen that before, but holy shit, nothing touched me but the ham wallet, and it was just amazing. And so then I started getting aggressive, flip her over, go do my thing, and Jesus is staring at me, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? There's a 3D relief of Jesus coming out the wall. And the best way to describe that is, remember in the 90s at Spencer's, where they had this thing where you could buy wall ornaments that looked like they were coming out of the wall at you?
they were plaques, but they were sort of a 3D relief at the same time. And they would have Grim Reaper and skeletons or the Universal Monsters or whatnot. She had one of these sumbitches above the bed, and here's Jesus, eyes locked on me as I'm ramming it doggy style. And I'm just like, this is the creepiest thing I've ever seen. Whatever. Just keep going. I mean, just fucking phenomenal. And this chick abducted me. We never went back to Brew Brothers that night. We woke up and just spent the day together. She showed me around the property, and in that giant ass garage was a bunch of piping and I know what you're thinking, not that kind of piping. I piped her earlier before that, but there was a bunch of piping and long wooden boxes like the pipes would go into, and I recognized it immediately because I went to PLU and we just had a $1 million organ built in our cathedral or our symphonic hall. And I asked her, I was like, what is this? And she's like, oh, it's my dad used to make organs. And she told me this story, I guess. This organ, the actual organ that I was looking at that was disassembled in this garage, was the organ that was put together, I think, for the intro to Fox Searchlight. Is that the one that goes dun 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 dun? You know, whatever that. I think it's Fox or 20th Century. Is that Fox? Who knows? Everybody's merged into Disney these days. But anyway, that was the organ, and that made sense. I'm like, oh shit, that's where he got his money. He's an organ builder, and she lives on the property. 2 days later, bitch still wouldn't let me leave. I hadn't changed clothes, but of course we showered and fucked like, you know, whatever animal fucks a lot. And I finally was like, hey, people are starting to worry about me. Should I, I think Sunday night I need to go jam. I made the excuse that I was playing that night. And she got mad at me and dropped me off at the parking lot and sped off. And this was the last time that I saw her. Like, I think that was my one chance at a sugar mama. And she was about 7, maybe 8 years younger than me at the time. And I never saw her again. And she was fucking phenomenal. I mean, her face reminded me of... who's that wrestling diva that died? She was in Playboy... Ashley or something like that, I think. Reminded me of her face, the way she did her hair and makeup with the streaks and all that, and kind of punk rockish. And then she just was Sir Mix-a-Lot. She was 5'3 and you know, curvy as fuck. So yeah, that was just, man. Now, speaking of being abducted, that was for some reason the trend there for a while. I went on a trend where I was dating nothing but squirters. I was on a trend where I was dating nothing but horse girls. And there was a trend where I was getting abducted, where I would meet someone on a Thursday or a Friday, go back to their place because I never wanted to know where I live, or for the same reason, never leave. And they would take me back to their place, they would drive, and then they wouldn't let me leave. And then when I wanted to leave, even if it was like the next day, it's not like I fang and bang and got the fuck out of there. Like, we're talking a whole entire weekend. Like, great, I get it. The sex is great, or maybe I am and you finally figured out how good sex feels. I don't know, but they wouldn't let me leave. So that's when I started driving my own car, and I was like, hey, I'll follow you, because I needed an out. I was too trustworthy. I was going to get, you know, some female serial killer at some point if the things were going. But yeah, crazy fucking time. So that's another dating story. I haven't shared one of those in a while. But see, there's so many of them, it's hard for me to remember which ones I've told you, haven't told you, and which ones I just completely forget. Like, I hadn't remembered that chick until I said thrift shop. And then I was like, holy shit, she put that damn song on loop and danced and fucked to that song over and over and over and over again. Which is weird because Macklemore is from Seattle. And apparently we were the same age, grew up in the same area, and did the same stuff. And I never remember the guy, never ran into him, so it was just, it was weird. But, anywho, enough on that. Today, the reason I'm going out thrifting is because I've had a couple good commissions come in. Got a little extra. This is the month I got to save extra for that upgraded rent that is so wonderful. But I got a 30% off coupon for media, which is my favorite. So hopefully they still have physical media in some of these savers. If you sign up for savers again, you get their discount tag sales, and you also get emailed like 30% off fixtures and furniture or clothing or whatever, you know. So yeah, I'm going to be doing that. But also, as I'm headed to the comic shop, should be a good day because Strange Academy comes out today. And I've talked about it before, but if you haven't checked it out and you're a comic fan, I highly recommend it. It's Ramos that used to do Cliffhangers Out There and Crimson. And then he's probably more known in the circles for Spider-Man. Carlos Ramos was he's got that fun cartoony style, but not like an anime cartoony style. It's just a unique style. And he's created a Magic Academy, which technically it's not really a ripoff, but if you are a manga fan, there was a manga I think it was about 15 years ago, called Najimi, Magical Magister of something. You know how they always have those long-ass fucking names? And it was about a school of gifted youngsters, sort of like an X-Men, but in a magic school setting. This is an Americanized version of that, and it's a hot title. Everybody's digging it. I think issue one was highly sought after and is worth a couple bucks now. So that's out today. I'm excited to check that out. Probably read it right away because there's a lot of magic in there, a lot of magic kids, and one of them is Dormammu's kid. And they named him Doyle, which for those, if you know, you know, that's kind of a funny character name. And yeah, so we're going to do that. Also, I'm probably going to talk a little bit about Stranger Things. I finished both parts now. Actually, I started right at midnight when they released because people are jackasses online and love to spoil stuff. Wasn't a big fan of part one because it was so distraught and impossible. And once the resolution came in part two, it was awesome. So I won't spoil it so much as talk about the things within it. And probably end it with a rant on how rules and laws and things don't work, because fireworks are a perfect example and evidence of just that. So here I am at Maximum Comics in North Las Vegas. Almost got run over in a parking lot because people can't fucking drive. And I will see you in a brief second. Well, that was a fun conversation. So a one-shot summer special of Stranger Things came out, and we were talking about it at the shop. And the main conversation there was, it's really interesting that you don't have to be the actual actor to portray the actor anymore. The deep fake wave of CGI that's in movies now, honestly, I think is awesome. I can't stand Mark Hamill as a person, but Luke Skywalker as a young actor, forever young, in Mandalorian is a wonderful idea. I remember the first time I saw something like that was Terminator. I don't remember which one because there was a bunch of fruity weird-ass shit there for a while, but Arnold is obviously older now, and his muscles aren't as jacked. And then there's that final scene where an original T-800 comes out, and he's jacked to the max, and it's like 1984 again. And he walks out and he's not Arnold, but his face is. Like, how cool is that? And that was kind of the joke we were saying. Like, you could be, here we are in 2032, and we're watching Humphrey Bogart and all these people back in movies, and they're not even alive anymore because they've got, like, voice-changing technology and deep fake where you just have a different actor's body and then CGI the real face on there. I mean, I think it's great. And the reason that came up, and again, this isn't a sexual thing, is because of Elle in Stranger Things. When you first watch part one, she's a kid, so it's her face on a kid's body. Then when it goes to their modern time, she's a late teen. And it's obvious that she's, you know, in her late teens. She's taller and lankier and skinnier. But by the time you get to part two, that must have been filmed a year later than part one, because she filled out and she's getting a womanly figure now. And again, I'm not trying to be sexual about it. I think it's gross that what people did on Twitter as soon as she turned 18. But it's weird when you have child actors that grow up, because you lose some of the innocence and some of the wholesomeness of, say, like you're watching Goonies or E.T. Nobody would want to watch Goonies 3 where their voices are cracking and they're all teenagers, or maybe you would. I don't. I escape by watching these shows to live vicariously through the characters and pretend and wish these were adventures I went on when I was a kid. Once they start getting older, then I start assuming they're having adult problems. And, like, you know, basically the love triangle between Mike, Will, and Elle, that is very apparent. But they did a wonderful job, I think, of not being woke and playing into that. They just let it be known that Will is different, he's unsure, and it's basically how things actually went in the 80s. It wasn't so out there, and it was actually kind of sad to where if you were gay or if you did have feelings for your friend as opposed to the opposite sex, it was confusing because it wasn't talked about and you weren't allowed to have those feelings. So I really honestly felt sorry for the character Will. There's several times where he just breaks down and people sort of start to get it, and then they're, you know, being welcoming, and today they would call it being inclusive, but they're letting him know that no matter what, he's still their best friend. But as far as Elle goes now, and back to the deepfakes, there was a Jurassic Park actress, I don't know her name, she's a director on Mandalorian as well, red hair, and she's actually really curvy and has a ginormous bubble butt, and they actually photoshopped her figure to a more non-sexual, androgynous, slender form in the movie so that people, you know, basically wouldn't be lusting or sexualizing the character. I imagine that's probably what's going to happen with Stranger Things, because by the end of part two, Elle is full-on woman, ginormous curves, and you can tell this is not a kid anymore. It almost makes me feel weird watching it, especially that her and Mike are, you know, having those moments and knowing that they're not kids anymore. I'm like, okay, this is making me a little uncomfortable here. Nothing at Goodwill number one, except for a nice vintage couch that will not fit in my Kia. But it was a very long, like a 8 foot long, blue suede couch, but with wood trim and the gargoyle feet and, you know, one of the old vintage style stuff that you'd either find in like an old brothel or a vintage Western bar or something like that. But anywho, so back to the Stranger Things deep fake look. When you start part one, you get to see Elle as a kid again. And it's someone else's body with her face put on there. And I honestly think that's where they're going to have to go, especially for flashbacks. Now, the rumor, the standing rumor is this is going to be set 10 years in advance. I don't believe that's true. I think that's, you know, back in the day, they would hire actors like Michael J. Fox, Gary Coleman, and to be perfectly blunt and honest, they would hire underdeveloped, youthful-looking, short actors. Tom Cruise, Sylvester Stallone. All these people that they can make look to be 6 feet tall, masculine, or more, but if they want to retain their youth forever, they're going to need someone who's not going to develop into a different look. So that, you know, they're going to get some. I mean, Gary Coleman was, what, 30 when he was playing the kid? I mean, not really, but, you know. So it's getting uncomfortable with, you know, the way you're supposed to be looking at these kids as kids, and they're growing up and having adult problems. But with the way they're treating Mark Hamill's character of Luke Skywalker in Mandalorian, where I hate the guy, but the character's awesome, and now they've got him on another actor, and he's not even doing the lines. It's somebody else. I mean, they don't... Mark Hamill is zero parts in that show. He has nothing to do with it, and his image is in there. Which begs a new question. It's an ethics question, and it's also a likeness thing. Now, do you, as an actor, trademark your likeness and license that out? Are we going to start looking at actors and people like we do comic book characters, to where they're not real people anymore? They're just like Nick Cage. I mean, he's going to be making movies forever, sort of retained his youthful look and attitude and played the same character in every movie. So if and when, sadly, hopefully not too soon or ever, because I think he's a vampire, when he passes, can we still have Nick Cage movies post-mortem? I'd like to see that. I mean, granted, I'm only going to be around maybe 40 more years anyway. If I'm lucky, I'll be 43 at the end of the month, and guys usually croak anytime after 69, so... And I'm not talking about being abducted and get thrown into a situation with the Fox girl. Anytime after the age of 69, us dudes can croak for one reason or another. And you know what? I welcome it, but that's a story for another time. So, Stranger Things as a whole. I'll talk about the things that you basically just seen in the trailer, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. There is some wonderful nostalgia towards the end. Part one, there was hardly any nostalgia. It did not feel like an 80s movie to me in part one. There was 6 episodes or 8 episodes of just dismal, dreary outlook, and there's no getting through this situation sort of feel. And it felt like a horror movie or some post-apocalyptic movie. And then part two comes along, and all of a sudden we're back to that 80s, you know, colloquialisms and mannerisms and the clothing and the jokes and all that kind of stuff again. So part two, even though it was only 2 episodes, is still 3.5, almost 4 hours long, because it's like an hour and a half episode and then a 2.5 hour movie. So that's kind of cool that they did that, considering it took so damn long for them to come out with it. And at least by them saying the next and final season 5 is going to come out in 2024, that gives them time to delay it, because if they said it was coming out next summer, you know it would get delayed anyway. So maybe they did a good thing there and not getting our expectations or hopes up. So I didn't like it at first, but by the end of it, I loved it, and it's one of my more favorite seasons. First of all, Argyle is my new favorite character, next to Eddie. Eddie's cool, but he is more or less, I don't want to say a throwaway character. He's just somebody you saw in the 80s. Argyle, I could watch in a few shows. Eddie's great, but to me, he just didn't really fit. He had failed school 3 years and was hoping his fourth year would be his year to finally graduate. So the dude was already like 21 in high school. And we all knew someone like that. If you're in your late 30s and 40s, we all knew that one stoner or drug out metalhead kid that had the Metallica patch and would argue with you over which one was better, Metallica or Megadeth, till he's blue in the face. And that was Eddie, you know, failing the years and just kind of not really worth a whole lot. But it's a fun character, and it was not even a familiar theme from the 80s. It was familiar to us who grew up in the 80s, which is kind of a nice touch. But Argyle, who is the stoner native kid that works at the pizza place that has that surfer accent, even though he's really nowhere near a beach, that's also another person we ran into in the 80s, but was also a side character in almost every 80s movie, to where they just talked like Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles. Like, what's up, bro, chachos? Bro, dude, yeah. Like, it's just, it's familiar and fun, and the guy is cool, and he sort of takes over Steve's role as the babysitter. Even though Steve still has his moments and has his crew, Argyle now has his crew because they split the Stranger Things. I mean, there's so many kids and characters in this show now, they had to split it up. So it's almost two stories, what's happened in the Midwest and what's happening on the West Coast, because they go to California. But even that, they're in California, but they don't actually play up the California part of it, which I was kind of hoping that they would. The big thing about 80s and 90s shows was everybody wanted to go to California. Everybody surfed, everybody wore pink and neon. Everybody loved pizza, and it just, you loved California back in the day. Now, you can't stand it. In fact, it sucks so bad, nobody that I know wants to go to Hollywood and hang out anymore or see the magic of the beaches. And some people, the Disney files, still go to Disneyland, but it's not quite the same magic that it was before because they got involved in politics. So it is what it is, bro chachos. Eddie is cool, and I do like the character. He inspired me to play and want to do a lot of things musically, and I won't tell you the songs or whatnot, but there's been a few things where they, in Eddie's scenes, where they're playing some 90s metal, and the music, it just hits you, and you're like, fuck yeah! It's kind of like Kate Bush for everyone else. Well, the rest of us get our moments. We're like, oh shit, yeah, fuck yeah. And then you see the Warlock guitar. Everybody who was cool had a BC Rich Warlock guitar, and he's got a very special one that he shows, and just really fun. And then Hopper, obviously we know he survived. That was the big thing. For about 6 months, almost even a year maybe, we thought Hopper had died at the end of season 3. And then they almost immediately had, during the pandemic, just to put everyone in a good mood because we were all so heartbroken and downtrodden with everything else in the world, they finally showed him clean-shaven and in Russia. So we knew that he had transported himself and got captured. That's a question that has still not been answered. So it's not a spoiler, but how he got from, what's the town that they live in the Indianapolis? Hawkins? How he got from Hawkins to Russia? I know they're saying it's a gate, but they're not saying how the Russians actually play into it, other than that they're trying to weaponize the Demogorgons and the gate itself to hopefully transport. Which, honestly, if you go through war history and occult history, that's exactly what the Nazis were trying to do. I don't know that that's something Russians were trying to do. Americans were trying if you watch movies like Men Who Stare at Goats or know about Majestic 12 or any of the black projects of our own government, we tried psychic warfare. And basically what is L's power is what we were trying to achieve as a weapon. And the Nazis were doing that in World War II. They were trying any means necessary to win, whether it be through alien technology or the Ark of the Covenant or the Spear of Destiny. Whether they found any of those things, it's all true that they tried to find it. And Hitler was an occult fan and tried to win the war that way. Even as much as hiding mandrake root under his bed as a way of protection. The mandrake root is something that is sort of a golem that could ward off evil, and a spirit can inhabit this thing and come to life. Because mandrake root technically looks like, I forget the video game or the cartoon, but they're basically like walking, talking vegetables with arms and legs. That's what a mandrake root looks like. They're shaped in a way that would make you think that this is some sort of alien creature. And he used to hide one under his bed for protection. So we know he was into the occult. Russians, not so much. The only weird thing I had heard about with Russians is that they were training and trying to deform kids and put them in flying saucers. And that's what actually crashed at Roswell. Not sure how I feel about that one. Not bad, not bad. First coupon used down. So when you get coupons from Savers, they're good for up to 3 times. And I got the one on media for a week now. It's 30% off of media, which is nice. And I found some old Boris Karloff offshoot movies. The Man They Couldn't Hang, and then The Egyptian. A couple different things, just... I don't know, they're fun for reference, they're obscure, they're different. I found some Care Bears VHS. I don't know why, but I loved Care Bears, and obviously the grumpy one was my favorite. And that's the one I had as a kid. It means more to me because I didn't have an actual Care Bear. Someone made me a knockoff Care Bear, and they stitched it to be the blue one, which is the grumpy one. And I couldn't say Care. So I said it was Kerber. I'm talking like I was a baby, not like 14 or nothing. And then I found a DuckTales movie, or not the movie, the episode cassette. And what's funny about that is I have the exact same one, except when I bought it previously, it had the wrong tape on the inside. So now I have 2 of the same covers, but 2 different tapes, and I got the one finally that goes with the cover. So that's kind of interesting. And then also I got the Mighty Ducks. I don't know why it's a cult favorite, honestly. I hated the cartoon when I was a kid, but now it's hard to find because nobody bought it. Nobody had these things. So now to see something like that in the wild is fun again. Speaking of things in the wild, McFarlane Toys is now going to do superpowers, if you haven't heard. And they're already hitting shelves. They haven't even announced these things. And I haven't even seen Page Punchers yet. But Page Punchers were sort of a close to what superpowers or Secret Wars or the Marvel Retros are sort of emulating. And then I thought, okay, maybe I'll get a couple of those. And then thank God I saw this, because now they're coming out with superpowers. I'm all in, and especially for the price point. I'm hearing $9.99 for the figures and $20 for the vehicles. As of yet, we've only seen the new 52 version of Darkseid, gray Batman. There was a blue Batman spotted, but I think that may have been photoshopped. A traditional Superman, and then the vehicles is a Superman copter, and then the Batwing. But the Batwing is a blue version of the 89 movie Batwing, so I'm probably going to get 2 and just paint the other one black. I mean, why not? for that price point. And this, you know, I was talking to some friends about this. A lot of the fun of customizing and why things were so cheap is because the figures were cheap. Even when WWE Eternia first came out, the price point was like $9.99 to $12.99. And then when it went to $14.99, I'm like, okay, I'll grab one or two here and there. But now that those superstar lines are $21.99, hell no. I'm not buying those and customizing shit. It's just, it's too expensive. But for $9.99, the Superman buck for the figure is a pretty generic buck to use. And you can buy those all day, er day, and turn it into virtually every single superpower out there. Because they all had form-fitting tights and leotards on. Spandex, if you will. And, you know, of course, you can go on Cults 3D and download the heads or likenesses or anything you want. Or even the superpowers themselves and put it on a working action figure. So that's sort of exciting that that'll be out and about, and I'm looking forward to picking one of those up, or a few. So, overall, Stranger Things was good. Vecna, the main bad guy, is a cross between Eddie from Iron Maiden and the Tyrant from Resident Evil, and I think that's done on purpose. He's got the larger left hand with the long nails and tendrils like the Tyrant does. And then his face with sort of the no nose and the way the grooves and wrinkles and striations and things on his face are. It's almost basically a bald Eddie. If you don't know who the fuck Eddie is, just stop watching. I mean, God, metal was so popular back in the 80s and 90s, and it sort of died off now to where people wear the t-shirts and they have no idea the names of these characters. Do you know the mascot for Megadeth? Right now, off the top of your head, what is the name of the mascot from Megadeth? Bones McRattle. Come on, people. The mascot for any of these, I mean, if you don't know, just look at Super 7. They'll put a name on it and they'll make a reaction figure out of it. But metal was so popular that they had metal movies. Black Roses was a great one. A buddy of mine just found one of those on DVD. We're trying to find one on VHS somewhere. But that was a great heavy metal movie. Trick or Treat, which they put Gene Simmons and Ozzy on the cover, but they both basically just had cameos. Has hardly anything to do with either one. It's just a selling point. And not only that, you think you're getting the movie with the little orange dude that wears the burlap sack on his head and slices your tendons and whatnot. Which, by the way, now that it's July 6th, it's spooky season. I know it's 110 degrees here in Vegas right now, and Walmart's probably putting out the Christmas decorations, but now starts spooky season. From July 5th, as soon as the 4th of July is over, that means we got no more causes, no more themed woke months, no more of these damn holidays that are just fucking made up for shit. Like, between now and, you know, I guess we'll say Labor Day or Memorial Day or whatever the fuck's in September. I think it's Labor Day. Not really sure. It's one of those fucking mattress holidays. There is no good holiday now until Halloween. And then after Halloween, there's no good holiday until St. Patrick's Day. So, yeah, we'll leave it at that. Anywho, Stranger Things was good. They had the metal theme in there, which was common in a lot of 80s movies. A lot of the throwbacks to... Well, I won't spoil it. You'll see. There's some throwbacks. I think if you read or saw any of my reviews or listened to the podcast about part one, is sort of alluding to that this is a Nightmare on Elm Street tribute, but it goes well beyond that. In the last two episodes, they've got so many 80s references that it's ridiculous, so it definitely is great. I was disappointed because I was ready to just not ever watch Stranger Things again because I didn't like the kids getting older, but they play into that knowing that they're older and give them roles from other younger adult movies in the 80s towards the end of it, so it is pretty exciting. The fifth season, yeah, who knows what they're going to do. I'm going to be hopeful, and the way they ended four is good enough to where you want to watch the next season, but if and when the world destroys itself and you never get to see it, or one of the actors passes, or some unforeseen thing happens that stops production, or that never comes out, basically you could just keep looping after season four and you'll be fine. It's just going to be an apocalyptic, very standard end of an era, end of a story episode that is pretty much going to kill off everything that you know, just so that they never have to make another one of these again. Again, when they were kids, in between production, I wanted to see Erica and Dustin and the Chips Ahoy, or the whatever that ice cream place, Scoops Ahoy, Adventure Gang. I thought that would have been a cool spinoff, but they're not really doing that. They're kind of keeping these actors specifically for Stranger Things, and that's it. And they're not spinning off, but the comics are. So if you want side stories and different things leading up to Kamchatka, the prison in Russia, or what the cops are doing after Hopper leaves and take over, those are all stories in the comic books. Yeah, Goodwill number two, After Savers number one. I got two things, Starship Troopers and Predator. I'm just trying to get everything that was made in the VHS era on VHS. Because I do have it on DVD, but I'm telling you, disc does not last as long. I've always ranted about that, but I can't say it enough. All disc media is not holding up as well as tape has over the years. So I'm getting as much as I can on tape. And I'm also trying to find a damn laser disc. Like, I've got them, but I can't find the player. And if I ever found one, I would buy the TV and the rolling cart to go with it, just like in school, and wheel it in so that I could have a Laserdisc moment. Because that was, see, I went to this sort of ritzy school in University Place, Washington, and we would get grants all the time. Every year we'd get a million or two, and they'd build us a new building or give us a new science lab or all new instruments, all new pads and football. I mean, we had Taco Bell and Pizza Hut in our cafeteria. We were like 90210 in a wet, rainy twilight area. Every room got laser discs, and I think it's hilarious because that maybe it lasted longer than HD Red Ray, but yeah, it did not last very long, and everybody had to rebuy their library over and over and over again. I mean, again, I've said this a bazillion times. How many times can you rebuy everything just because it's a new format? And then when everything went digital, they're like, oh, fuck, everybody owns it now on digital, and they can put it on iPods, so what do we got to do? Oh, let's put it on a streaming service so that we can take it off, change it to another streaming service, so they still got to rent it and pay for it, and then put it on a device that's going to be defunct every 6 months. Yeah, they really got you there on that one, folks. So, as I'm headed to my Good Luck Savers, which is just down the street from this last Goodwill I was just at, I had a random thought as I was parked next to a place called Wally Wombats. I guess it's a different version of a Chuck E. Cheese or a daycare for kids. And it just made me stop and think for a split second, like, how cool would it be to have an adult version of Chuck E. Cheese? I know, everyone's like, dude, they got Dave and Buster's. I was like, bitch, no, I want to go in the ball pit. Like, I want to crawl underneath the sadistic-looking animatronic rats that are falling apart on stage and hide in that little zone while eating pizza that everyone has sneezed on, and then go play in the ball pit some kid probably pissed in. I think that would be fun. And add alcohol. I don't even drink. I guess, oh, and by the way, tomorrow is 1 month sober. Yay, congrats, balloons and confetti. I just I'm over it. And that's the type of person that I am. I'm obsessed with things until I get sick with it. And it doesn't matter what it is. Eventually, I'm going to get sick of everything. Look at friends. Friends that I've been with and around for 10 years, I finally get tired of their shit and just go, I'm over it, and walk away and decide to tell them how I really feel. I mean, what's the point? Life is so damn short. What's the point of holding back and not telling people how you feel? And it doesn't mean make enemies, and it doesn't mean that you can't forgive some things or just realize that some people are dumb, but, and this is probably the most arrogant thing I will ever say in my entire life, it really sucks to be intelligent. It really sucks to be a free thinker, someone that's outside of the box, open-minded, and intelligent, and can think faster than everyone else, because it's such a waste of time. I'm impatient. I know how things are supposed to go. I can date someone and in 3 hours nitpick every fault and know whether it's going to work or not, even if they realize it or not. And some of them are like, you can't just rush things. I'm like, yeah, but bitch, I know where this is going to go. Just fucking suck a dick already. Not like that, you know. You just do like the gentle nudge on the back of their head and it just kind of, they go down there anyway. But anyway, It's not even that. It's like, I've met people like, dude, we're perfect for each other. If you just, you know, get off the shit and realize you could have what exactly you're looking for. It's that syndrome of, oh, I wish I could find a guy like you. And I'm like, bitch, I am a guy like me. But then they don't do anything with it. And yeah, oh my God, a guy just passed me in a polo shirt with the collar flipped up and wearing a fanny pack. Nobody has popped a collar and looked cool since 56. Calm down. It's not cool anymore. Woof. Okay, my good luck savers is here. Hopefully I can find some more media. And these people don't know how to drive or park, so I'm going to scoot around and get it done. We'll come back and see what I got this time. Yeah. My good luck savers always works out. And not that I got anything that's worth a ton of money, but I was able to finish off a few collections of stuff. So I got about 15, 16 VHS tapes. Stuff like, you know, Predator 1, Home Alone 1, where I had the two, Highlander Endgame, and I had 1, 2, and 3, I think. So I have to take a picture of my collection whenever I go to conventions or whenever I go thrifting, because I have so much, I just don't remember what's there anymore. And if I didn't do that, I would end up with 50 copies of Look Who's Talking To. So it's always smart to do that. It's also a drunk tip that if you plan on getting shit-faced and you're in a hotel room, or if you're a musician or something, or even your parking spot, if you think you're going to forget a number or where you're at or something, just take a picture of it. It's the easiest way to figure shit out. I used to hold my room key up next to my door, and hopefully it would have the logo of the hotel, to where if I was somewhere and didn't know how to get back, I could just show the picture to the taxi cab driver, the, you know, back in the day. Of course, now it's all Uber and you'd have to actually know where the fuck you are, but it helps. I'm telling you. So, yeah, I just finished off a couple collections, which is always good. I was on a dry spell there for a while because I had everything, but, man, some people just have weird collections. Like, there was 8 or 9 different movies from country superstar Lori Morgan. Didn't know she made movies, let alone 9 of them. In this area, there's a lot of old country folk, and basically all the tapes and the CDs and VHS are Western country or, you know, rural sort of entertainment. I remember in Washington, growing up, a lot of the Goodwills had action figures, sci-fi books, games, nerd role-playing games, tabletop games, stuff like that. And then, you know, down here, it's pretty much Western shit. But what's funny about that is we're coming up on the time when all of us are going to start dying off. So in about 20 years, thrift stores and Goodwill are going to be full of 80s nostalgia. Because right now you go, you see like furniture and music and clothing from the 60s and 70s. So every 10 years, those people die off. So now we're getting towards the 70s and 80s. But it was people that were adults in the 80s. So in about 10 to 20 more years, kids from the 80s are going to start dying off. I know. Real grim thought there. And whenever I die, since I have no one to bequeath my belongings to, it's going to be a shit show and someone's going to make it rich, because every Goodwill in all of Vegas is going to be full of shit. Like the best and coolest nerd shit you'll ever see in your entire life. So, yeah. Not going to happen anytime soon, though. Sorry. I know I say we can pop anytime after 69. Ha ha. Ha. That was intended. But I unfortunately think with my luck, I'm going to probably be one of the oldest people on Earth. And I'm going to have to endure this torture for eons to come. Not too excited about that. A little bit of creativity to throw at you. I've been getting back into 3D printing. It's been long enough that newer people are starting to scan the old wrestling figures, and they've done that so with UK Galoobs and the rare ones. So now I finally have El Gigante back. I sold it originally, needed the money, and I just don't like keeping expensive collectibles. And now I can paint my own, which is perfect. So I got Big Josh, the robed Sting, and or the robed Luger and the jacket Sting, and then Big Josh El Gigante, who's the other one? I don't know, he made a custom of Abdullah the Butcher, which was great. An LJN Bad News Brown. All sorts of stuff. But I can't print LJN size. Galoob size is about as big as it gets. Dustin Rhodes and the Freebirds. That was the other ones I got. I can't print LJN size, so what I've done is I've taken LJNs, if they were in WCW, and made them Galoob size, or I just make them LJN bendy size, and then I'm making all of them Hasbro mini size. So if you're listening to this and that's something that you want, hit me up. I pretty much just do the cost of printing. Unless you want me to paint them, then I can. We can work out something there. So, yeah. Me and a buddy file swap, and I buy some, he buys some. You know, we've got quite the collection of scans and 3D printable stuff, so it's fun. Also, I've been getting into sketch covers again. But there was something that always bothered me with sketch covers, is you never really seem to find the one you want to draw. So Spawn's been doing them lately, which is kind of cool. But, you know, the modern covers just don't really do it for me. I wish that they would have done the What If or a Conan cover from back in the day, or the 80s Spider-Man. And I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to make my own. And that's what I've done. And instantly it's a hit. I've already got a few commissions in the works. People are asking for prints of those commissions. I don't know how people feel about that. Because a lot of times when you ask for a print of something, you're basically telling people you're a cheapskate and you don't want to buy the full-priced thing. Or it could also mean that you want all of them in a moderately inexpensive way. I don't really know how it works. Usually whenever I post original artwork, people try and write, save, and click it, or just hold down and click it on and save it on their phones so that they can make phone cases out of it. You know, remember that guy when I did the Great Muda piece? He lost his phone, tried to make another one, and couldn't find the picture, and had the gall to ask me if I could send him a high-res pic so he can make himself another phone case for him and his friends. And I'm like, no. But you can pay for a commission, and I'll give you whatever you want. People just don't understand that very few artists have free time to create for fun. And when we do, don't steal it and try and make money off of it. If it's not commissioned,
And we actually do have the time to do something for fun. Get your own damn ideas, Mattel, and do your own thing instead of just stealing everyone else's stuff. So what I had done is I had made the Marvel What If is a popular show. I think it's coming out on Disney Plus, or it may already. I don't subscribe anymore. Gina Carano for life, blah, blah, blah. But I wanted to do a classic 80s Marvel What If, and I'm calling it Wolf's Comics What the Fuck. And it's mind-bending twists of fate and fantasy booking. A lot of wrestling requests right now, but I'm even thinking of stuff like, what if Mephisto got the Infinity Gauntlet and all the Marvel superheroes went to hell? So you have, like, Captain Satan and Spider Demon and, you know, stuff like that. I think that would be a fun trip to draw. I love the Mephisto and the Magus characters and stuff like that, so... little kid waved at me. That's crazy. There is niceness left in the world. Kids, man, the innocence of the world. Gotta love them. Hopefully that there's still some that end up growing up into nice people. All right, I am at the high-end Goodwill thrift shop, Deseret, that had that Elf phone that one time. Don't know what I'm gonna find, but usually there's something quirky or interesting, so I'll get back at you and close this shit out for today. Dang, well, I hit the mother load. And not because, you know, these things are super expensive, but they might be, and I need to check it out. First thing, I've never seen Muppet Babies on VHS, and there's a rental copy of a few episodes, possibly even homemade, of the 80s Muppet Babies. Got one of those as seen on TV, you know, the big tractors. I love all those old as seen on TV. I don't know, what do you call them? Like nostalgia videos, where they were compilation videos. World's largest, world's blankiest blank, Girls Gone Wild, you know, all those fun things. But then I go over to electronics and they're like throwing shit away. And I always freak out because I'm like, well, I know that's probably the stuff that's been there the longest, but maybe nobody wanted it, and maybe I want it, and if you're just going to throw it away, can I have it? So I'm over there looking, and it was junk, but I found some brand new 80s records. So like Paula Abdul, Europe, Joe Walsh, brand new, still sealed, just brand new vinyl sitting right there. And I thought, well, this is rad. Let's keep going. What else can I find? Go over to the electronics area, and fucking, like, I always look for, which, by the way, let me segue, I know you're getting excited about what I found. I did find a rolling cart for a TV, believe it or not. I thought about it, I manifested it, and it showed up in reality, and it was $200, so no fucking way. Over in electronics, as I'm looking for Laserdisc and other things, rare items. I love just tinkering with old electronics. I see something that catches my eye, and I'm like, there's no way that that's what that is. There's no freaking way. And I pick it up, and it's like 20 pounds of metal. It was a 1990 original Digitech rack-mounted guitar processing unit. And not only that, it had the foot controller to go with it. Now, that doesn't mean that it works, but for $15, I could not pass it up. Absolutely could not pass it up. It's just one of those things that you hope works, that you find it, and you just, you gotta score it while you can, you know? And, I've got some buddies that work in electronics and digital music gear. So if it doesn't work, it could be parts. If it does work, they could fix it. But really all I need is a power cord and then a MIDI foot controller. I mean, if this thing works, it's 90s gold and some of the original sounds of metal and rock guitar. And it just, man, I'm so excited to find this. It's ridiculous. So that should be fun. Can't wait.
Now, also, I prefaced this at the very beginning. I mean, we have to bitch about something, right? I mean, it's Howling with the Wolf, right? This will prove that rules and laws, regulations and fines do not work. And it's proved by one word. Fireworks. I love them. They make loud noises. They're entertaining. They're wonderful creations. Thank you, Chinese and Indian reservations. So, Nevada, highly flammable. Everything about Nevada is fucking flammable. And if you fart the wrong direction while holding a sparkler, the entire place could go up. Well, it's... God, people don't know how to drive at a fucking four-way stop. When somebody stops, the person on the right gets to go, dumbass. God, people are idiots. Anyway, there's so many rules and regulations against fireworks. They said it's illegal. We talked about that last episode. People still bought them. They said you can't have these. It's a $1,000 fine. People still bought them. If you're caught shooting these off, you get a $500 fine. People still shot them off. In fact, it sounded like a damn war zone. There were so many things going off all at the exact same time. My residential area had a big sign on the gate. HOA will be out in force if you are caught shooting off fireworks. It's a $1,000 fine and possible eviction or foreclosure on your house or whatever they think they can get away with. Scare tactics, people. It's all fucking scare tactics. Because literally everyone did it. Everyone shot off the big cannon fire, the firecrackers, the bottle rockets. I mean, it was star-spangled, suck my star-spangled ding-dong awesomeness. And our local news station, the day after, posted a thing that said 53 citations were handed out over Vegas Valley because of illegal fireworks, and things are out of control. Bitch, 53 people on my block were pulling off fireworks. Don't tell me that you did us a fucking favor and saved Nevada from burning down because you handed out 53 fucking citations on fireworks. Holy shit, people. Calm down. It's... God, this just proves, people. Laws and rules do not work. If you tell someone not to do something, they're gonna do it. Ban guns, they will find a way to do it. The people that are shooting each other on Fremont, this has happened now again, the day before 4th of July, they hid this story from the media because they didn't want tourism to go down on one of the bigger summer holidays. And some, you know, I'll just say it. I'm not trying to be racist here, and I'm not trying to be a boomer, even though I'm a Gen Xer. But it's these fucking young kid black gang members that are taking over Fremont that are shooting each other up. 3 weeks ago, gang members fought each other, an argument, got too drunk, started shooting each other. One killed and one innocent wounded. Day before, 4th of July, Crips got pissed off at somebody on Fremont, and these fucking black kids running around shooting each other on Fremont, and dude got shot in the ass. I mean, he was smart enough to try and roll away after he got knocked out, knocked to the ground, and started rolling away. And the dude that knocked him out pulled out a gun and tried to kill him in the middle of the street. And he got shot in the ass. Fucking Metro didn't catch him and shoot him in the act. All these people that are doing things with guns didn't follow the rules to own the gun. And that's not self-defense. Because you can't have a gun around alcohol or gambling or inside casinos or around public events. So now our wonderful Mayor Goodwin, she's decided that she's going to make Fremont safe for the day after 4th of July. She had an emergency meeting because God knows, fuck all for 4th of July. We need that tourism money. She decides the day after 4th of July that they're going to have an emergency meeting and put it into vote that Fremont will be gated off and is now 21 and over, no weapons, and no drugs. As it fucking should be. I mean, this should have been common knowledge. But no, right after the pandemic, after the casinos had shut down and we were all a year without pay, they put things so cheap that all the gang members and all the bullshit from California came over to Nevada, started settling in our housing properties in our communities, making the whole thing go up. I partially blame the Raiders too. So now it's so out of hand, and we brought these kids. I mean, they're driving the Rascal scooters that are for handicapped people and lazy people, fat asses, and people that just can't walk or actually do have a handicap and need it. They're renting those out, probably with a prepaid 7-Eleven untraceable card, and then they're riding them down the escalator, thus destroying the escalator and the scooter itself. I mean, fucking A, people. Go away. Destroy your own goddamn city. Don't destroy mine. I used to get pissed when I worked downtown, and I would see people puking and pissing on the sidewalk. There are 3,000 bathrooms in any given corner that you can defecate and shit yourself to death in, or fucking piss all over, or puke, or even fuck your boyfriend in. I don't care. Do it in the fucking bathroom. Don't ruin my city and throw your garbage on the fucking ground and just destroy everything. That's what they're doing. They're shooting everything up. So they're going to put a sign up that says no guns. Yet that's going to fucking stop people. And then even when I worked security, we didn't have a metal detector and we didn't pat people down, but we could tell who had a gun and who didn't. They would still find a way. Women would bring it in their purses. They'd hide it between their tits or shove it up their vag. You can't go looking in some of these places. They're going to find a way around the rules, and they're going to bring a gun into a place and shoot someone. Because that's what you do these days. People are so fucking lazy, they can't be a Dexter and a serial killer, that they literally have to just blow each other up and then run away. And they all look alike, and that's not racist, but it's fucking true. What are you going to do on these shoddy-ass cameras when everybody looks the same, they're all dressed the same, they're all the same height, weight, and no discernible tattoos or individualistic features whatsoever, and they're out there committing these crimes? They'll never catch them. They'll never catch them. Fireworks are proof that rules and laws and regulations do not work. And you know what? They never will. I say we go back to the old west. Fuck them. Everybody carry a gun. Everybody disobey the rules. Burn the whole town to the ground. That's the wolf's saying. That's what I say. It's getting out of hand, people. So hopefully you can stay safe and sane. I found some amazing deals and some great shit today. July is still going to be awesome. And the band, once I told them I was finding other gigs and didn't need them, miraculously showed up and started booking gigs again. So I'll be playing this weekend and hopefully have some fun groupie stories for you next week. But as of now, thank y'all. Stay safe and sane. Keep commissioning and keep me inspired and everything. I sure do appreciate it. And we will see you later.